I got harassed in the early service for always saying the same thing when I greet y'all. But it was just these two guys
Never.
Harassing me, so
Never.
It doesn't matter, really matter. Are you ready to worship?
Yeah.
Are you ready to experience the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, thank you for all you have done and are doing and will do for us. We just love you. We pray that our praises would please you, that would bring a smile to your face. Would you inhabit this place with us, Lord? We pray that you'd surprise us with your presence. We lift the name that is above every name, Jesus. It's in that name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise as you're able, also welcome our live stream worshipers. Let's worship.
Satisfies only you, Lord.
You may be seated. Children, if you would go join Miss Carlene over at the doors.
Anybody else? Oh, me either. Well, good to see everybody this morning, and good to have you worshiping with us online as well. I was thinking about that song we just sang, Shine Jesus Shine. That takes me way back. That song was actually written in 1987. I got saved in 81, so that was right in our wheelhouse back then. And, you know, what it did for me, and I shared this with the early service, that it took me back to a time where God was incredibly good and incredibly faithful. 40 years later, he's still incredibly good, and he's still incredibly faithful. He's always the same today, yesterday, and forever. I want to go ahead and encourage you to check into this service, either the online service or the late service through our app. I want to give you a quick update about our Threads of the Heart ministry. If you're not familiar with that ministry, it's a group of 10 to 12 ladies that are sharing their talents and their gifts to bless our church and those outside of our church. They consist of quilters and knitters and crocheters and cross stitchers and sewers and anything else that has to do with fabric. And so they've been really busy this year. Here's a couple of projects that they've been working on and have completed. They made feminine hygiene products for the Panama mission trip, bean bags for the Mother's Day out. I'm not quite sure what purpose they served, but they served a purpose, right, Becky? Okay. I don't know details about some of these efforts. They made bed runners for the houses for healing guests. Those go at the end of the beds. There's 20 beds. I'm not sure how many that y'all made, but anyway, they're blessing that ministry. They made bookmarks for the fourth graders that received their Bibles this year. There's several projects, at least one, maybe two projects that they're going to be involved in for Christmas workshop in December. Also, they made a connection with Pregnancy Resources, and they're going to bless that ministry with some gifts as well. And something they've desired to do for the last 3 or 4 months is to donate some quilt items to the church for two reasons: to bless people in our church and raise money for our building project. And so they have donated two quilts, have a Christmas quilt and a fan quilt. I had no idea what a fan quilt was until I looked at the quilt. There's fan designs on that quilt. And then they've also, they have two Christmas pillows, one larger, one smaller, that they have donated. So we want to honor their giftedness, their desire to gift these things to the church. And also, we want to honor the Lord with the way we distribute these gifts. So we want to satisfy their desire by having those things available for people to have, plus also raise some money for our building fund. So we went through a discernment process. God, how do we do this? You know, we don't want to turn this place into having money changers in the temple, if that makes any sense. I mean, it really, we really wanted to honor the Lord. So here's something that we come up with. Share this with the Threads ladies. They're good with it, and I think God's okay with this. So we're going to have, I'm sure he's okay with it. So we're going to have a silent auction. If you're not familiar with the silent auction, it's not an auction where everybody gathers together in a room and there's an item there, everybody bids on it, it's over with in about 30 seconds to a minute. A silent auction is an ongoing auction. It started today, it will end on the 23rd. And so we're auctioning off the Christmas quilt and both Christmas pillows separately. So that's three items. And I don't know if you've seen those items in the foyer, but they're on display in the foyer. So there's a bid sheet there that you'll see what the highest bid is. And if you want to bid on that item, just, you know, bid a little bit higher. And then we want to make sure everybody remains anonymous that bids for this. So we're asking people if they'll put down the last four digits of their phone number. We can find you. We have a really good database. We have a really good database search tool where we can type in those four numbers and we'll know who that number belongs to. So everybody clear on that. So we've got an auction for the Christmas quilt, auction for a smaller pillow, and an auction for a bigger pillow. And then on the 30th, we'll announce how much money was raised through those auction efforts. Now, the fan quilt, which I just found out what a fan quilt was, that's something we're going to give away to somebody in the church. But to be part of that giveaway, you'll need to register for that drawing. Okay, and we'll draw probably on the 30th of the month as well. And this is another three-week process. It'll run from today to the 23rd. And there are some slips of paper by the quilt on a table. And we're asking that only one person per family register for that. A family of seven would have a greater chance than a family of two. And so we want to make it an equal playing field. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so we want to bless somebody with that quilt as well. So that's going to take place for the next 3 weeks, and then we'll announce fundraising efforts and the winner of that giveaway quilt on the 30th. Everybody good with that? Okay. And Threads, ladies, thank you so much for y'all's kindness. If you're involved in that ministry, do you mind standing? We just want to thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Becky. Anybody else? Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, these ladies really have a heart to serve the Lord, and we're grateful for what they do. Several other things before we pray. In 2 weeks, 1:30 to 3-ish, 3 p.m., we're going to have a shoebox packing fest where there's a goal to pack 200 shoeboxes that day. And we'll be set up in the fellowship hall, and it'll be a great opportunity for individuals, couples, families to come and participate in that. Everything will be provided. We just need the labor for that. And so those shoeboxes will be packed. They'll be prayed over. And we have a goal of 200 that day. 1:30 will allow most people to go eat and then come back. Also, I want to encourage you to continue packing your shoeboxes individually. Our collection week is the 19th through the 24th. And so try to have those back by then. Also, you can build a shoebox online. And I just discovered last week through Naomi's presentation that those online shoeboxes are special in the sense that they are packaged in such a way that they can get into countries that are opposed to the gospel. And so that's the only way we can get them in. We can't take a regular shoebox with a Samaritan's purse on it and try to get it into that country. So we have an online goal of 100. I think there's around 50 that's been packed. Paid for. So if you want to go online through the app and contribute that way, that would be awesome. And lastly, our Turkey Tuesday is the 25th of this month, and we will bless the Carver neighborhood once again this year and the Methodist Food Pantry with turkeys to be distributed to our community. And you can donate to that as well. Church, y'all are so awesome, so faithful and generous. God bless you for what you do. So our prayer time this morning, you know, my heart's a little heavy for our nation, even more so today than a lot of days. I mean, God bless Congress. I just want to, you know. And it both sides, it doesn't matter. I just want to go in and start swinging, you know. But really frustrating. Talked to a couple of people this week that's really impacted by the shutdown, and talked to someone that received a recorded phone call yesterday that they're not going to receive their SNAP benefits this month. This family needs that. This family is in need. They need that. They're not taking advantage of the system. Had another gentleman I visited with, that his wife's in pretty desperate need of some medical treatments that can't take place unless the government's open. She needs it today. It may be 2 weeks, it may be 3 weeks, it may be a month. So people's lives are impacted, and that breaks my heart. And so this morning, I want to pray into that. Invite you to join me in prayer. Man, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. I mean, there may be another answer out there, but I don't know what it is. Jesus is the answer. I mean, we're trying every other avenue, and nothing's working. It's obvious to me that he's the answer. And hopefully you agree with me on that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to remind you the altar is always open if you want to come to the altar. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for your provision for us. Father, I thank you for this country. It's established, God, by your principles. Lord, that's up for debate in our time, but my goodness, you can just read some documents and maybe come to the conclusion that, God, you're instrumental in the foundation, the founding of this country. And Lord, you have blessed us immensely. I just think about the ways we bless the world, where blessings flow through us to others around the world. And so, Father, we've lost our way. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that just for some supernatural shift, Lord, to where, God, we will seek you before we seek the votes of the public. And Father, I just pray for our congressmen this morning, both sides of the aisle. I just pray for them, Lord, that their heart is bigger for their constituents than votes that they'll receive during election time. God, just convict. Holy Spirit, just convict. I pray for kindness and goodness to flow out of the halls of Congress. Lord, I thank you for those believers, God, that are standing firm. God, I just pray that they shine, Jesus, shine your light brightly in this hour, in this time. And I pray for those who are hurting, those who are impacted by this shutdown, God. I just pray for peace for them, for comfort for them. And Lord, I don't know, this may be one of the church's finest hours to fill the gaps during this season. So, Lord, would you stir the church about how they can share the love of Jesus with people in need during this time? Oh, Father, we need you. Jesus, we desperately need you. And I just pray, as we've been praying, for a renewal of our land, for revival to take place. Pray against the schemes of the enemy. It's almost another tactic of his to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses our government, I think, in a way that honors him. And Father, I just pray for just some radical shift to where, God, you're the one that's honored in all that we do. Father, thank you for this time we can be together. I just thank you for opportunities to praise you. And as our pastor shares this morning about us being created to praise, I pray that something stir within us. Help us to realize, Father, the truth of what Scripture says about what you desire from your people. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Giving options are on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. I want to encourage you to take advantage of opportunities to be prayed for. Our prayer team is going to be identified, and they always have been, but they're identified by their name tags. And so if you need some prayer, please seek one out, somebody out for prayer. Also, I want to remind you that this space up here, it's nothing really sacred about it, but it's safe. If you want to come to the altar at some point and pray during worship, during our sermon, after the sermon, during the invitation time, and if you would like to come to the altar for that, we want to be sensitive to people who desire prayer, and also sensitive to maybe people that want to spend time with the Lord by themselves. And so we're going to reserve this area to my right for those who would like someone to pray for them as they come to the altar. And the prayer team knows that they can come and approach you and pray over you. And if you want to spend time by yourself with the Lord, then I'm going to encourage you to come and spend time to my left. Again, take advantage of these opportunities. God is here. God is in the house. Let's continue to worship together.
filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
Good morning again, church. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. One thing I was thinking about, Billy, with the... Billy's around somewhere. Yeah, there he is. If you're not in our database, if you're not in our directory, and you leave your last four numbers of the of your phone number, Billy and I get to split it if we can't find you. So maybe y'all might want to make sure you're in our directory or make sure you're been registered. If you are here visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 150, six powerful verses here. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. We ask You now to send Your Holy Spirit. Send Your Spirit into this place and speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, starting a new series today, preached a similar series about 6 or 7 years ago. Hallelujah Living is the name of the series. Hallelujah Living. Today's message is Created to Praise. So has anybody noticed that it just seemed like if all you got to do is spend some time reading some posts online, watching the news, there's a lot of stuff that can pull us down. Yes? Well, that's not what we're created to be. It's not who we're created to be. We are created to praise. I said this, if you opened my email this week and got past the comic, you would have read that I said that I've been asked this question. I know many of you probably have been. Why are we here? Why did God create people? And I believe the scripture is very clear that He created us to praise Him and to bring Him glory. It's we think that we're created to promote ourselves, to excel, and to be successful, and to, you know, all this self-imposed stuff that we look at. But no, I believe we are created to bring praise and honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. The passage Hallelujah Living, that word Hallelujah, did you know that that word is almost universally, from what I've read throughout the world, that word is universally recognized as in all languages. And if you break that word down, two Hebrew words that make it up. The first is to praise, to boast in. The second is Jehovah, the Lord, self-existent, eternal one. So you put those two words together and we get hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So as we start this series, I want to make sure we understand there is a difference between thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. Thanking the Lord says that we are thanking Him because of something He's done for us. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Thanks is good, but it's different than praise. Praise is, it's not necessarily the things that He is doing for us, but who He is. We praise God for who he is. This psalmist, these six verses, it's so interesting. I think it's almost like this psalmist is trying to tell us something. You think? 12 times in six verses, he says to us, praise the Lord. He gives us all sorts of details. Where? We're to praise in the sanctuary, in his heavens. Why are we to praise it? Because his acts of power, his surpassing greatness. How are we to praise? Now, this, if any of you have come from a denominational influence in the past, this could be hard for you to hear. But he says to praise him with sounds of instruments, trumpet, harp, lyre, tambourine, dancing, strings, flute, clash of cymbals, resounding cymbals. I believe that I think the Lord loves it when we make noise when we're praising him. Not like when I sing to make a joyful noise, but noise to do it in like celebrating who he is. He's telling us not only how and where and why to praise, but he's saying to us who is to praise. So everybody, take a deep breath. One breath. Take a breath. Blow it out. He's talking about you. That's who he's saying to praise him. Everything that has breath. If you have breath this morning, he's saying we're to praise him. Everything that has breath is to praise him. So we're going to dive in here and just unpack this scripture a little bit more. First of all, praise is already alluding to this. Praise is our purpose. It's why we're here. Our lives, we think of praise as something we do when we come to church. We praise God when we come to church. Praise should permeate every aspect of our being. How we treat people. When things are going good, when things are going bad, we should be praising him because he has created us and he has created us for praise. Let's look at a few scriptures that support this. Everyone who is called, Isaiah 43, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created, why? For my glory. We are created for his glory. Isaiah 43:21. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. God is saying to us, I have formed you as a people. I have created you, and the purpose is to declare my praise. If I were to tell you I want you to praise me, that's somewhat egotistical when we say that. But for God, I don't know if it's newsflash, God is worthy of our praise. Okay? Peter, in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And so he's identified who we are, and we have a purpose. He goes on to say, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You know, everything we do, church, should be bringing honor and glory to him. And we should praise him. And I don't know, I just believe that the Lord likes it when we really make a fuss over him. Yes? Even the heavens. Psalm 19. I know Cheryl, this is one of Cheryl's favorite verses. Even she's a nature girl. You don't know if you knew that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Even nature testifies to the bigness, the greatness, the vastness of God, who he is. And if nature testifies to who he is, how much more should you and I, the ones who have breath in our lungs, be singing praises to him? So praise is our purpose. Secondly, praise changes circumstances. Praise changes circumstances. You need to read this. I'll read the whole story. It's in 2 Chronicles 20, but I'm going to summarize the story of King Jehoshaphat. Somebody told me that one of the Sunday school classes or small groups, ladies groups or something, just went through this. Does anybody? Okay, never mind. After the early service, they said, we just studied that last week. So King Jehoshaphat, he's a king of Israel. He's a good king. And he gets word that these three vast armies are coming against him. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites. These armies are a lot bigger than the army that Jehoshaphat has. And they're marching against Israel. They're coming to destroy Israel. And Jehoshaphat gets word of this, and the first thing he does, he fasts and inquires of the Lord. In other words, he fasts and prays, like, Lord, we got these three armies that want to wipe us out. And he's fasting and he's asking the Lord, what do I do? We can't defeat them. What do I do? And a prophet who, he not only Jehoshaphat fasted and inquired of the Lord, but he asked the nation to do that. A prophet came to him after this fasting and prayer, and he said, the Lord has told me, he's given me this word to you, King Jehoshaphat. He says, do not be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's. Isn't that good stuff? If you're going through something this morning, I believe the Lord would say that to you as well. The battle is not yours, it's God's. And he goes on and says, you will not have to fight this battle. So Jehoshaphat, imagine this, he believes him. He believes this prophet has heard from God. So but he also says, take your army, who's grossly outnumbered, and march down to meet these three armies that are coming against you, that God has promised you won't even have to fight. So he's marching down to meet them. And guess what Jehoshaphat does? In the front of his line, in the front of the army, he puts men to praise God. Isn't that cool stuff? So he's marching down to meet these vast armies that are looking to destroy them. And God has said, you won't even have to fight this fight. So he goes to meet them praising God at the front of the line. When they got there, when they got to the armies, all they found were dead bodies. They had turned on themselves and destroyed one another. Is that cool stuff or what? God says, don't worry about it. You won't even have to fight this fight. I'm going to fight it for you. So he turns these armies against themselves, and all they found was dead bodies. And it took 3 days for the Israelites to gather the plunder from these dead armies and take them back, return them back to their home. 3 days. On the fourth day, guess what Jehoshaphat ordered happen? To praise God. He marches in to meet these armies, praising God. When he's leaving, as he's acquired this plunder from that, he's praising God. It's almost like something changes when you praise. So that's an illustration from Scripture. I want to give you this. You may find this silly, but it wasn't silly to me. Several years ago, Kirby and Ryan were selling a house. It was actually Kirby's first house that she ever bought. And they were at work, they were getting ready to close on the house, and it was really kind of, everything was rushed, trying to get everything done. And there was a needing to get it inspected and all this stuff, and there was a plumbing leak from the front water valve up to the house. There was a line running up in right in the middle of the front yard, was a leak. Well, I want to tell you, if you ever need plumbing help, don't call me. I don't like to plumb. I don't know anything about plumbing. But they were working, and I said, hey, I'll run over and see if I can fix this leak right quick. So, and it was, I want you to picture me. It was right in the middle of their front yard, and it had been leaking a while, and it was soupy mud. And I'm digging up this soupy mud and having all kinds of fun, and I had mud all over me, and I get down, and I find the PVC pipe. I find where it's leaking. And I have no idea how to fix it. I'm like, I don't know how to fix this. So I went to the plumbing store and I told them what was going on. And I said, man, please just tell me how. And they gave me this little device. It was supposedly you could splice the PVC and put it in there and it expands kind of like a little telescope thing and all that. And you could splice it. Well, anyway, so I didn't know what I was doing. I got home and got there and I'm working on it. And again, I'm down wallowing in the mud trying to fix this. And I worked on it for quite some time, and I couldn't quite get this little apparatus they gave me to fit in the splice. I tried and tried. It's probably about a 45-minute ordeal. I didn't say any ugly words, but I was getting frustrated. I was stressed out. I've got to get this. I don't know what I'm doing, and I really was just coming to the end of my rope, and I just said, Lord, help me. I can't do this. I can't get this piece to fit. And I need it to fit. And then it just kind of washed over me. It's like, just wanted to praise him. So I right there laying in the mud in the front yard, I just began to praise him. And I was saying, Lord, if you help me fix this plumbing, I praise you. And if you don't, I praise you. And I just began to sing, and if anybody drove by, they thought I was an insane person. I kid you not, I'd been working on that probably 45 minutes. Within 20 seconds, the next time I put that device down there, it just slipped on. It just went on after I began to praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, praise changes. And here's the problem. It isn't that praise doesn't change things, it's the fact that we don't praise. That's the problem. When we let life circumstances overwhelm us, we get depressed, we get stressed, we get angry, whatever it is that we're struggling with, and that is exactly the time we need to praise him, and it's exactly the hardest time to praise him. When things are going not so great, we have to just remember and just flip that switch. It's like, Lord, I praise you. This plumbing is a mess. I have no idea what I'm doing, and I've been wrestling with it, and I'll never get it fixed. But I praise you because you love me. You're good. You're a good God. Praise changes our circumstances. Thirdly, praise is our response to God's mercy. It's how we respond to God's mercy. I've said it many times, but in Romans, it says that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And it's not, too many times we get this wrong in the church even, that it's not, God is not this God that wags his finger at us and scolds us and shames us. God is this God that hung on a cross for us, and he loves us. And it's when we really get that, it can change everything in our lives. Praise is our response to God's mercy. Luke 17, you've probably read the story or heard the story about the Jesus. He's going around and he encounters the 10 lepers. Okay, leprosy, as you know, biblical leprosy was a bad deal. Nobody wanted to be around them. Nobody wanted to touch them. And Jesus encounters these 10 lepers. And he heals them, and he literally says, as they still had leprosy, and he said, go, assuming that they were going to be healed, go show the priests what I've done for you. So go, and as they're making their way to the priests, they're all healed on the path to go tell, and I'm gonna pick it up, Luke 17:15. One of them, out of the 10, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan, and Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Weren't there 10 of y'all? Where's the other 9? You see, I believe sometimes we're grateful and thankful. I'm thinking about that leper. Have you ever just threw yourself at Jesus' feet and just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Psalm 22, the Lord is holy and inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise him, he engages in that. He inhabits his people. And it's not, praise is not how we feel. It's not about how we feel. It's about who God is, what he's done for us. As I was thinking about this week as I was preparing this message, several years ago, Tommy, I was thinking about your daddy. your awesome daddy, Eudene. If you didn't know Eudene Foster, you missed a trip, missed a treat. And maybe a trip, too. I don't know. But Eudene was a special man, and I loved him so much. Back before COVID, some of y'all are going, I wish we'd do this again. But we used to pass the offering plate. I know. Jim, go ahead and give me an amen. Amen. Jim's giving an amen over there. But we stopped doing that at COVID, and we've put the boxes out, and we've just kept that deal. But one of the things I do miss about the offering is after we used to have ushers that would pass the offering plates, at the end, one of the ushers would bring down the offering plates and put them on the altar table, and we would sing the doxology. I do miss that. We'll talk more about that. But I remember one time that Eudene was one of the ushers, and it was early in my time here, and as he walked forward, as we sang the doxology. I remember Eudene walking down this center aisle, and when he got to the altar table, he raised those plates up. And it impacted me. Just the motion of raising those plates up. And what Eudene was trying to tell us is that everything we have is a blessing from God. And we're returning a portion of what you've done for us, Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to, this morning, I want to sing that. I want you to sing that with me. I've got a little recording to help us. So go ahead and play that, Lee. Sing this with me.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Praise
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Church, we have a God, a special God, worthy of our praise. I've said this before, but it just always, every time we have the Lord's Supper, it just reminds me that in the Gospel of Mark, all the Gospels, Jesus is recorded telling the disciples many times what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He's going to go. He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He's going to be beaten, whipped, nailed to a cross, and on the third day he'll be raised. And he's explaining to them what's going to happen. And then in Mark, you can read, after he's explained to them, they're heading into Jerusalem, and it says this very important sentence, with Jesus leading the way. Why would he do that? If he knows that's what's waiting for him in Jerusalem, why would he do that? Because he loves us so. Because he knows he wants us to be in heaven with him. He wants to walk with us right now. So he allowed his body, he was leading the way, knowing he would allow his body to be broken because he loves us. and knowing that he would allow his blood to be shed because he loves us. Church, that's worthy of our praise. A God like that is worthy of our praise. If you'll bow your heads with me and just pray your own personal prayer of confession before our holy and loving God. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you went to the cross for us. May this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for each one of us. We praise you because you are worthy of our praise. Church, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Those who are serving will come forward. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table or our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sins, you are welcome to this table. These two stations here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center, return to your seat to partake of those, and start with the bread would be my advice. And you can discard your empty as you leave the sanctuary. The altar is always open. If you want someone to pray with you, as Billy said, you can be on this side. If you want just some time with the Lord, you can be on this side. Come.
Moved by the sound of his voice.
Everybody take a deep breath. God's calling on you with breath to praise his holy name. He is worthy. Go and tell someone we're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.